Take your Bibles, please. Turn to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, we're going to read verses 13 through 18 together. And we'll read this passage responsively. 1 Thessalonians 4, verses 13 through 18. While you're turning there, to save time, I'm going to read three other verses to you in Acts chapter 1. You're in 1 Thessalonians 4, 13 through 18. I'm going to read Acts chapter 1, verses 9 through 11. Bible says, when he had spoken these things, while they beheld, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, which also said, ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into the heaven? This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as ye have seen him go into heaven. Now, 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, we're going to read verses 13 through 18 together, and we'll read this responsively. But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that they sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. And let's pray. Father, thank you. You sure are good to us. Lord, we live in tumultuous days. We live in days that just feels like there's fear and panic and all kinds of things going on all around us. Lord, thank you for a place called church. Thank you for the word of God. Now, would you meet our needs tonight? May, as we circle the throes of heaven tonight, may we get a little better picture of what's to come and comfort our hearts, our minds, our children, and even ourselves, please. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. We live in a very strange time. The world lives by what I call a panic attack. We go from this panic to that panic to this panic to that panic. And we live in a society to where, and I hate using this terminology, but if you listen to me, you can't believe anything you hear in the news anymore. They say that if we don't sign a deal by Thursday, that we are going to default in America and the whole world will be in upheaval. Folks, that is a lie straight out of hell. Let me explain what's happening. It's like you having 10 credit cards that are totally maxed out. And by Thursday, you can't borrow any more on those 10 cards. The president wants another credit card. And Congress won't give it to him till he cuts spending and starts paying off the other ones. That's all it is. We have the money to make the payments on the 10 that we have. Okay? America's not going into default. We're not going to. And by the way, all of the people that they've cut, by the way, it's a joke. They just voted to pay them all anyway. Why not put them to work and let them do something? Now, that's the lie of things, just so you know. But that's the world we live in, okay? It's all smoke and mirrors. Tonight, I want to share one of the most misunderstood and yet one of the most exciting, but at the same time, a little scary topic that we'll talk about. And that is the second coming of Christ, future events. Long time ago, and I'm not sure where it originated. I'm not claiming any sense of this. I heard Brother Hiles use this outline. I'm not sure where he got it from or where the person that he got it from that he got it from. But there's basically three comings of Christ in the Bible. You had Jesus who came to his own in Bethlehem. He will come back for his own at the rapture. And then he will come back with his own at the end of the tribulation for the millennium. So you have him coming to his own, coming back for his own, and then coming back with his own. Boy, those prepositions become big when you do it that way, isn't it? Boy, that just that little word at the beginning of that changes the meaning of it an awful lot. He's already come to his own. But he came to his own and they received him not. Okay? Now, the second coming is what we call coming for his own. That's the events we read there in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, that the trump of God shall sound, the dead in Christ will rise first, we which are alive and remain will be caught up together to meet him in the clouds, so shall we ever be with the Lord. Amen. Now, that is called the rapture. And by the way, Mr. Schofield's got it wrong in his Bible where he says it's the rapture of the church. It's not the rapture of the church. It's the rapture of the Christians. Okay? Now, then, after 7 years, and I'll get into this in a little while, we will come back with Christ and we'll watch Jesus defeat the devil at the Battle of Armageddon, and we will rule and reign with him for 1,000 years here on this earth called the millennium. Now, tonight the world waits and often mocks the end times. You get these kooks out there that the end of the world was going to be last December, and it was supposed to be December 11th, and then they changed it to the 21st. That was the 17th time that guy made a prediction. I'd think after the 16 other times, they wouldn't take him serious. But there are people that lost their homes, they lost their everything that they had because they believe some kook that predicted the end of the world. If they just read the Bible, they wouldn't lose all they have. We see the events of Egypt, Libya, Iran, Iraq, Pakistan, Syria, Russia in the news, and we think, oh, the signs of the times, the signs of the times. They've been saying this for the last 50 years, folks. Now, I believe each day we live, we're closer to it than they were. I know that's a fact. How close is it? What does the Bible say about Syria? Not a whole lot of good, that's for sure. What does the Bible say about Iraq? Not a lot of good, just so you know. Well, when is everything going to be totally lined up, and when's all this going to take place? When God says so. Don't worry about it. And I'll get into some of this in a moment here, but we watch movies that are produced by so-called Christians about the rapture and the tribulation. Tim LaHaye has put out a big series, I think it's called Left Behind. Tim LaHaye's been a charismatic for about the last 40 years. Tim LaHaye's way off in doctrine, just so you know. Now, I'm not against Tim LaHaye, okay? Don't quote me as saying something I'm not saying. And I'd probably rather you watch something like that than some of the other filth on television, but it's not scripturally accurate, just so you know. He has no more idea about it than anybody else has. It's all speculation. I can give you what God says and let him take care of the rest. Now, we're looking for signs. We're looking for the signs of the times. It seems like we're looking for signs instead of obeying God's commands. God said, don't worry about it. Just get busy winning people to Christ, get their lives changed, getting them winning people to Christ, to get their lives changed, to win people to Christ, so that when I do come back, there's more people. That's what we're supposed to concern ourselves with. Oh, all this stuff in Syria, what's that going to mean? Is the end near? It's no nearer than it was 2 breaths ago, other than you're 2 breaths closer to heaven, amen? Now, there's a special interest in the Bible about prophecy. Say why? Because it's everybody's opinion. And I say it like this. Opinions are like noses. Everybody's got one, and you pick which one you want. There are preachers that have made a living on preaching prophecy, and everything they preached 30 years ago, they had to change because it didn't come true. Then they changed it again. It used to be Henry Kissinger was going to be the Antichrist. Guess what? He's not. You all remember what I'm talking about? Some of you gray hairs know what I'm talking about. Back in the 70s, it was huge. You know, you had Bible prophecy conferences. What a waste of time. Why don't we have a soul winning conference? Go win people to Christ. Now, they speculate about what is not known in prophecy so that they don't have to do what they know they're supposed to do that's written down in the Bible. I could name names. I won't. We need to quit wasting time speculating about what's not in Scripture and start concentrating on what is in Scripture and start obeying what we know to obey. I don't care which toe represents this country in the book of Daniel. Y'all know what I'm talking about? The 10 toes on the statue in Babylon. Well, what does that toe mean? It means it's next to the other one. Who cares what the toe represents? Now, we know what God tells us in Scripture about certain things. He said that there are certain elements in that caricature there that represented different nations. Past that, who cares? Why do we want to waste our time trying to speculate when we got a whole book that tells us what to do and go take it to a lost and dying world? Well, who is going to be the Antichrist and where will he come from? Well, as long as you're saved, it's not you. Don't worry about it, baby. 5 years ago, somebody said, do you think President Obama is the Antichrist? I said, he's not smart enough. Don't worry about it. Trust me, he's not. Now, we saw how easy it will be for people to believe the lie of the Antichrist. I think it's one step closer. Now, don't misquote me. I said he is not the Antichrist. I don't believe he is. He might be the Antichrist's brother. But I'm not sure they know where he was born anyway, so it doesn't matter. You know, we're so worried about computer chips and this, that, and the other thing. Can I tell you something? The Antichrist cannot take over until we're out of here. Period. End of discussion. Oh, the new federal ID driver's licenses. Should I do it? They have a computer chip in them. The last driver's license you had a computer chip in it too. Everybody doing okay? Every credit card you have has a computer chip in it. They can read it. They know things about your shopping patterns just because of that little black bar across the back of your credit cards. Wherever you go in Walmart, it tracks you and it knows where you're at and what you're doing. It knows every aisle you've gone up and down, and they read the information off of that to find out your buying patterns. That's not uncommon. They've been doing that for a long time. That's why you get all your junk mail. That's why you get all your spam mail. That's why you get all that kind of stuff. Say why? Because they've been watching your patterns to know what you're interested in. That's not new technology. Well, I heard we've had printed the Amero. They're going to get rid of the dollar and print that. I've heard that for the last 15 years. Okay, so it's printed. Who cares? It's not coming out till Jesus comes back. And I hate to tell you something. Quit worrying about the end. We're out of here before it gets to the end. Well, the United Nations. Folks, the United Nations took place in 1919. Back in the 1900s, J. Frank Norris said that the United Nations was the likening unto the end times and Jesus' return was imminent then. That was 100 years ago. The United Nations is not Antichrist. Now, I'm not for everything the United Nations is about, but quit worrying about the United Nations. We need to worry about the United States of America. Jesus is coming back for his saved people someday. This is called the rapture. You will not find that word in the Bible. The word rapture, it means a called, a snatching away. And it is that moment when the Lord comes back, calls for his own, the dead in Christ pop out of the graves, we which are alive and remain catch up and meet him in the air, and we go back for 7 years with Jesus to a place called heaven. Say why? He's getting us out of all this nasty stuff. A few years ago I saw a sign. I was driving somewhere and I loved the billboard. I wished I had enough money to buy another one. I put them up all over the country. Said Jesus is coming back and boy is he mad. I like that one. I thought that was great. Now, wait a minute. He is coming back. That should not scare us. Matter of fact, 1 Thessalonians 4 says, wherefore, comfort one another with these words. Teenagers, boys and girls, that ought to comfort you, not scare you. Adults, that ought not scare you, it ought to comfort you. Say why? We're getting out of this place before it gets too bad. Well, what about, don't worry about it, it's okay. We'll let the lost people pay for it after we're gone, amen? Let me give you a few statements here. And number one, the rapture takes place before the Antichrist has any power. The rapture takes place before Antichrist has any power. Let me explain something to you. I think our present world crisis is only increasing. And I'll tell you why. It wasn't until a few years ago that it finally started making sense to me. This is my opinion. You can differ with me. This is not in the Bible. But I see the logic behind it. I'll give you my thinking. Before the Antichrist sets up, I believe the world has to bankrupt itself. How in the world can a man rise to the scene and put everybody under one economic plateau? I'm talking about China, Russia, India, all of Europe, South America, America, Canada, Mexico. Well, that wouldn't be hard. Just get rid of the peso. We're in good shape. But all of Africa, the whole world will come under one global economy. There's only one way that's going to take place, and that's if the whole world goes bankrupt. You have to start at zero so that everybody can come under one common economy. Okay? I believe where we're at right now, we are about $16.5 trillion in debt in America. Okay? That means every human being living in America would have to pay about $55,000 a person just to get rid of our debt. That's to put us at zero. That's every boy, girl, mom, dad, every person. There's 306 million people in America. That's about $55,000 a person. A family of four, that's $220,000 for your household to pay your portion of the debt that America has incurred. That's a lot of money. Now, we don't know when it's going to happen. We do know it's going to happen quickly. The Bible says, in the moment, in the twinkling of an eye. I'm not sure how fast a twinkle of the eye is. I've heard it's down to milliseconds. How fast is that? I'm not sure. We're so impressed with how smart we think we are that we know what it is. I just know this. A twinkle happens pretty fast. I know this. You're not going to have time to say, oh, that must be the Lord. We must be getting ready to go. It doesn't happen that way. My deacons will remember this quite well. We were having a meeting in my office several months ago. We were getting pretty into the meeting, and all of a sudden, out of nowhere, trumpets began to play. And we all went like this. I know they were practicing on the other side of the wall from us. I banged on the wall and said, that's not funny. We all had rapture practice that night, trust me. But I know this, it's going to happen, it's going to happen fast. I also know that only the saved people will go up. That means if your spouse or your children or someone you know that is lost, when the rapture takes place, you're gone, they stay. There's no more chance to talk to them. You're out of here. I don't know. I cannot answer this question. I've seen all kinds of paintings. I've seen all kinds of what chaos is going to take place. I do believe it will be chaotic. Believe me, I believe it will be chaotic. It'll get blamed on the Christian, that's for sure. How that happens, I don't know. Will all of the graves of the saved people open up and they come out of the grave and that grave be all kicked out and all the dirt gone? I don't know. I do know that those graves opened when Jesus resurrected. I do know that they sat up in their, when Jesus died, the graves were opened and the dead bodies sat up in the tombs for 3 days and three nights. When he resurrected, they walked into town. Now, how that took place, I don't know. I just know that it did. Can you imagine somebody that's been dead for 400 or 500 years come walking into town? I don't know about you, but I'm going to a different town. Now, wait a minute. The dead in Christ will rise first. Will the graves be opened? I don't know. Who cares? Does it really matter? I just know this. They got 6 feet farther to go. They get a little head start. That's it. And in the twinkling of an eye, it all takes place. It's not much of a head start. Trust me. I just know that we will rise and meet them together in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Now, number two, there will be great chaos following the rapture. There will be total global economic collapse. Can you imagine, let's say, 100 million people are raptured? And that's a pretty small number globally. Can you imagine if 100 million people defaulted on all the debt you have? Didn't make a payment? Didn't show up for work? Didn't show up to lead at the job? Can you imagine what kind of chaos is going to happen? I believe there'll be far more than that raptured at one time. I really do. Then the Antichrist will come out. He'll say, look, these evil Christians, they're out of here. You need my help. Let me help the world. I have a plan, and the world will follow this leader into his satanic, demonic plan into one worldism. He will rise. He will, for 3.5 years, for 42 months, bring peace to the earth. It'll take him that long to establish peace on the earth and to get it going. You have to realize every continent in the world will be touched by this. You have to realize that everywhere in the world, even in Malawi, Africa, amen, Brother Mike, there's going to be an economy that's affected by this. And so it's going to take a while to get this peace settled in the world, and it'll take him 3.5 years. Then look out. I don't mean this in a crude way, but all Hades is going to bust loose after that. Then the whole world will unite under this one world leader. By the way, he will go to Israel to rule and reign in the stead of Christ. There are more riches at the bottom of the Dead Sea right now than in the entire world combined. Russia will try to invade Israel because they want the riches at the bottom of the Dead Sea to finance their communism. China, God will dry up the Euphrates River, and China will march across in a billion-man army. They've already claimed that they're trying to get a billion-person army together. They're pretty close to it. They will march from China on little tiny Israel. Say why? They want the riches in the bottom of the Dead Sea. Guess what? They're not going to give it. That's God's people's. The whole world will unite. Then you're going to have the second 3.5 years of something called the tribulation. Then it's all going to bust loose. There will be 21 judgments in 42 months. God will pour out his wrath for 42 months on the face of the earth. And let me tell you, it's not going to be pretty. It's going to be ugly. Nearly half of the world's population will be killed in 3.5 years. Almost half of the world's landmass will be totally destroyed, unusable, in those 3.5 years. The Bible says 1/3 in one part, 1/4 in another, and that's on top of everything else that's going on. So almost half, about 40-45% of the world's population and landmass will be totally obliterated during this next 42 months. Guess what? We're on topside partying. We're at a 7-year marriage feast of the Lamb, gorging ourselves, not gaining weight. Amen. Say, how do you know? If we're not, that's not going to be heaven for me. By the way, you can eat so much you won't throw up either. Amen. What a waste that would be, and that would be sin, and God won't have sin in heaven. Ha, ha, ha. There will be a revival that begins during that 3.5 years. There will be 2 prophets that come back from heaven to preach on earth because they have not yet died. A man named Elijah and a man named Enoch, they will come back and they will be the 2 witnesses in the book of Revelation that will preach righteousness and people will start getting saved. You say, why? Because they're going to see the fallacy of the Antichrist. After they're done preaching, the Bible says that the Antichrist will kill them and they'll lay in the streets for 3 days and 3 nights and the world will watch their bodies. Say, what's that called? ABC, NBC, CBS, and Fox News is going to cover their bodies laying in the streets. Brother Roloff used to say the 3 sewer lines, ABC, NBC, and CBS, will show their bodies for 3 days and 3 nights. After 3 days and 3 nights, old Enoch's going to lean over and say, Brother Elijah, you ready to get up? Elijah says, yeah, let's show the world what God can do. And they're going to have their own little rapture, amen? Their own little resurrection. They're going to get up, and their bodies are going to go with them, and everybody's going to say, uh-oh. They were what they said they were. Then you'll have what is called Armageddon. Armageddon is that end time war. It is not the end of the world. Listen to me. And it is not a war of we Christians against the lost people of earth. It is a war of Jesus Christ against the Antichrist. But Antichrist will have all his little minions, all the armies of the world against Jesus. That's where he comes riding back on a white horse, and we're on white horses with him saying, get him, Jesus, get him. That's where the sword will be in his mouth, and he'll kill so many people that the blood will rise to the bridle of the horse in that valley of Megiddo. Say why? The Bible says that the animals will be so tired of eating the dead bodies that they cannot consume them all. Now think about that for a while. And then Jesus says, okay, fellers, I'm going to come to Israel and I'm going to sit on the throne here and we are going to rule and reign this world for the next 1,000 years together. Folks, when we go to heaven, we do not get judged for our sins. When we are raptured, we will go to the what they call the Bema seat or the judgment seat of Christ. Say, what happens then? Let me show you. You will receive your rewards according to what you did here on earth. Your judgment was cared for when you got saved. There's no judgment. You'll just receive your rewards. It's kind of like, for lack of time, I didn't do it, but come on up here, Brother Smith. If he had his Marine uniform or Girl Scout uniform on, he has certain medals that he would have here on his uniform, have his rank on his sleeve here. He received those for what he did while he was in the Marine Corps. Guess what? When we get to heaven, we're going to start earning our medals. We're going to get our bars and our stripes and stars and all the other things that we get. And Jesus will decorate us, and we will earn our rank. Say why? Because when we come back, we're ruling with him. Guess what? I'm working now so I can take over the state of West Virginia, amen? I want the panhandle at least. Say why? Because I love it here. This is where God called me. And I am now working to earn my rank. I want to do more than just sweep streets. Let's let the lost people do that mess. I want to do something good. Thank you, Brother Matt. So that 7-year period, we Christians are getting all of our rank. Say why? Because then it's all closed out. Remember, there's so great a cloud of witnesses. We're still earning rewards for people that are already there. And if we die, people down here are earning rewards for us while we're there. Once it's over, guess what? Then he can give us our final reward. When somebody dies, they don't go to their final reward. The final reward's not in till Jesus comes back. Then we get the final reward. Then we get our rank. Then Jesus tells us what our jobs are going to be. Say, you mean I'm going to have to work? Yep, but you're going to enjoy it because you got the best boss in the world. Guess what? You can trust whatever he says. It's never going to be wrong. You can do it exactly the way he says, and it'll turn out right every time. You're earning your spot in rank for the millennium. I don't know about you. I want to do more than clean toilets. I'm not above cleaning toilets, and I've cleaned a heap of them. But can I tell you something? I'd rather lead than be led during the millennium. I'd like to sit in a staff meeting with Jesus someday, amen? I'd like to earn enough rank to get at least somewhat close to him. I don't know about you, but I'd like to get as close as I could. So I'm going to work as hard as I can next. The whole time this is going on, we're on topside looking down. Boys and girls, moms and dads, you don't have to worry about the Antichrist. You're up there looking down on it. We're up there partying while all this is going on. They're down here miserable. We're up there having the time of our life. It'll be like a big giant church picnic in heaven for 7 years. You're not going to get to heaven, and God's going to show your life on a movie screen in front of all of heaven to show them what you lost. He said, you're going there to get your reward. You're going there to get your reward. There is therefore now no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus. You'll receive your rewards. You'll receive your rank. At the end, when we come back with Jesus, we'll let him do the fighting. And we will rule and reign with him for 1,000 years. Then we'll go back to heaven. The devil will be loosed on earth for a season. I don't know how long that is. The Bible says a season. Then God will destroy the world. Then God will have what is called the Great White Throne Judgment. Everyone that is in hell will come to heaven. God will punish them and give them their final punishment. Just like we are earning rewards, there are people in hell that are still earning punishment because of what they have done. I don't know about you, but this moves me. Do you know what the last thing a person before they go to hell will see is? Heaven and God. And for all eternity, as they are cast into hell, they will have in their memory, they will have seen what heaven is, what they could have had, and look into the eyes of the one that could have kept them there. But they rejected him. I don't know about you, but that just does something to me. The very last thing that their eyes will ever see is what they could never have. And they will be cast into hell for all eternity. And then God remakes the earth, remakes heaven, and eternity begins for us. Say, what's going to happen? You just got the whole story. As Paul Harvey would say, now you know the rest of the story. Can I tell you something? It's nothing to be fearful about. Let's just work. I'll be honest with you. I'd hate to watch somebody that I was supposed to witness to get pulled out of hell, look into God's face. They look over there and see me and thought, I know that fella. He's here. How come he didn't tell me how to come here? Ooh. I don't know about you. It's our job to tell them. It's our job to tell them. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Not to make you afraid. Hopefully, encourage you. Hopefully, comfort you. We're going to be out of here before it gets too bad. I promise you.